She's one of our favorites, and she is back with us on The Morning Conversation today. A wife, blogger, and mom of six kids, elementary school age and younger, Marilee Bradley from Lincoln is our guest this morning. Marilee, welcome back to The Conversation.
I'm glad to be back today. I have to tell you a funny story, Stan.
This scares me a little bit, but go ahead.
The other day, I was just losing it with my kids. Like, it was middle of the afternoon. We had not had a great day, and I was gearing up, like, taking a deep breath, about to say some things that I might regret. And in the back of my mind, I can hear the radio playing, and the lady on the radio is saying, for some real gems about how to handle the summer with your kids, listen to Marilee Bradley. And I had to just stop. They said, we all need a little time out. Mom needs a break.
That's awesome.
So I just want to say to the other moms that may have been in a similar situation and maybe felt some guilt, like, just know we are all in this together, and I would hug you if I could. We are all struggling through this, and it's okay. So everybody knows who I am.
Right, yeah.
And what awesome. I'm about. This is real.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, you're referring to a morning conversation that we had with you a month ago where we were talking about summer.
Yes.
And things with kids in the summer. So, okay, so this morning, we're going to hit on kids again. So when I think about kids, little kids, like, no one had to teach little kids to say, mine.
Right.
That's the universal language of our sin nature, that we got it from birth.
Yeah.
From that place to them developing into a person of empathy, that seems like a kind of a big gap. So I'm looking forward this morning to talk about how we can help our kids develop empathy. But to start us off, let's talk about empathy in general. What's a definition? How do you think about empathy?
Empathy is kind of a twofold thing. First of all, it's being able to take somebody else's perspective. So when we see that someone is hurting or grieving or suffering, we're able to see why and maybe have a little bit of understanding about what they're going through, which we can see with our little bitty kids. They don't get that at all. That they can poke you right in the eye and they have no grief about that because they can't understand that it hurts you. And so we have to teach them that part of it. And then the other piece of it is being able to have grace for someone else's emotions and feel with them. So we don't have to take on their emotions, but we're able to understand their emotions, why this is hard for them, and we can have some room for grace in all of that process, that we don't immediately go to judgment for somebody who's in the middle of a hard struggle.
Marilee, as we're talking about empathy this morning and specifically about teaching our kids about empathy, I mean, there's one place, is those who know God, that we go look right away when we're looking for a model on something that's good and true and honorable and right, and that is to Jesus himself. So as you look at the life of Jesus, where do we see empathy?
When I looked for that model and that example, because I think we're not really going to find the word empathy maybe in the Bible, I think we see that with Jesus grieving with Mary and Martha over the death of Lazarus. And we know that he had a solution.
Right.
He had the ability to heal. He knew what he was going to do, but that wasn't the first thing he did. He didn't just walk in there and, what's the problem, guys? Why are you so sad? Don't you know I can fix this? And then just fix it. That wasn't it at all. There was this moment of pause. There was that Jesus wept, where he was feeling their feelings. He was taking on their perspective, and then he offered the solution. But I think so often we're uncomfortable with our own emotional response or other people's emotions, so we jump right to trying to give them that solution so we don't have to engage in empathy. But that's definitely not what Jesus did, even though he had all of the solutions.
Yeah. Just as you were starting to unpack that, that just popped for me, just going, wow, yeah, like, clearly Jesus wasn't caught up in the same type of emotion that they were, because they didn't know the end. He knew the end. The reason he was feeling what he was feeling was because he was feeling their heart, their compassion, their hurting.
I love that story because I think it allows me to understand the kind of empathy that Jesus has for me, even in my daily struggles, that sometimes I imagine him saying, come on, get over it, or it's going to be fine, or don't you know I have this under control? And while he does, he still understands that emotional struggle and can identify with that and grieves with us when we grieve.
So, Marilee, we're talking this morning about empathy and specifically, how do we as parents help develop empathy in our kids? It's not inborn. It's got to be developed in them. And oh, that we could just give them a book, or, you know, give them a talking to and talk to them about empathy. But as with anything else, it is more caught than taught. What do our kids need to see in our lives for them to hopefully catch empathy?
I think it's a maybe twofold process that starts when kids are really young, like toddler age kind of kids. And I think the first part of it is for us as their primary caregivers, especially for moms, that we make sure our kids know that we are people. I think that is a struggle for kids, that mom is just like the person in the house that does the things for me. And we have to teach them that we are people, and that when they poke us in the eye, that hurt, and you need to apologize to mom. Or even when they say thank you at the end of a meal, we may know they were thankful, and we may not feel like pushing them for that. But when they do, and when we work on them with that, it's really an empathy response for them to take our perspective, to realize mom worked hard on this. I want to thank her for that. Sometimes that's hard for us as moms. We just can let ourselves be the doormat of the family. But we really have to, for the sake of our kids, not just for ourselves or our own ego, but for the sake of our kids, say, nope, they need to express gratitude. They need to tell me sorry, even when they've hurt my feelings or said something unkind, even if I feel like I'm bigger and above that. They need to understand that perspective that I've had here so that they can develop some empathy. And I think the other part of that is we have to treat our kids respectfully. We have to take their perspective, which can be really hard for us too. If we see the kid that's throwing a tantrum on the ground, we know they're just super tired. Instead of being angry with them, sometimes we have to stop and take their perspective for a minute and say, are you so exhausted? I know I can feel so grumpy too when I'm so exhausted. You know, and be able to identify with them. If they didn't get the purple cup, sometimes it's okay to say, I know it's really frustrating when you don't get the cup that you like, instead of just telling them, cut that out. When we can show that empathy for them, then I think they can start to see what empathy is like and begin to feel it for other people.
Mary, just a moment ago, we were talking about empathy and specifically how we as parents can model that to our kids in our interactions with our kids. Our kids are always watching and they're always listening to us talk about other people as well. So what about that? Is that a place that if we're not careful in how we refer to other people, that we might demonstrate a lack of empathy to our kids?
Absolutely. Sometimes when I have been talking about someone in my life I'm having a hard time getting along with, I imagine, what if I heard my kid talking this way about a friend of theirs? What would be my response? And I would probably say, well, that's not very kind. That's not very gracious of you. Have you thought about it from their perspective? But here I am just venting about why I'm frustrated with this person. And I think we have to consider that, even in the ways we talk about our politicians or, you know, our in-laws or our coworkers, that we're saying these things in front of our kids, and we need to be able, even when we disagree with someone, to say, but I think I can see where they were coming from, or I think I can understand how they got to that point, that we can model that perspective taking so our kids can see that we're seeking to understand other people and that we're not just wanting to be critical or put other people down. But that's hard. That can be a struggle for us to want to have that graciousness for other people who we disagree with, but I think our kids absolutely need to see us doing that in order for them to learn how to do that in their own lives.
So we're demonstrating to our kids empathy towards other people as we reflect that as we're dealing with difficult people in our lives. Our kids are seeing that as we work with difficult people. How do we help also from that place also teach them specifically? They've got difficult people. They come home. Maybe it's a bully that they're encountering at school, some difficult person in their life. What are ways that we can help make that real for them as they're walking their journey with difficult people?
This is a tough one as a parent, because I think when we realize our child is having to deal with something that's difficult for them, we would really like to just fix it. We'd really like to just smooth it out, you know, call the principal, get this thing to go away, whatever might be hard for our kids. And sometimes we can do that, and sometimes we absolutely should do that for the safety of our kids. But sometimes we need to teach our kids how to deal with these difficult situations on their own. And I think empathy is a great place to start. We don't excuse behavior of people who are being unkind or hurtful or unsafe, but helping our kids understand why somebody may have gotten to that point. So for my kids, we've definitely had this experience where they have come home from school and somebody has been unkind to them, or somebody, not even specific to them, but somebody has had some kind of meltdown at school that was a little traumatic to them to watch. And so we talk about, why do you think that would happen? Why do you think a kid would get to that point that they didn't have any other way to cope? Why do you think a kid would use those kind of words? And where do you think they would have learned those kind of words? And it's been amazing to me to see my kids putting those empathy pieces together to be able to say, huh, I wonder what's going on at their home. I wonder if they didn't feel safe. You know, things that are very gracious in the way that they're imagining this, instead of just having judgment for those kids, because our kids can be such black and white thinkers, which isn't a bad thing, but we have to help kind of grow that perspective for them of seeing things from someone else's point of view. It doesn't mean we excuse it. It doesn't mean we don't want justice. It's none of those things, but helping our kids understand, how does somebody get to that point? I think that's so important in their understanding of empathy.
Marilee, as we're talking this morning about teaching our kids empathy, to try to get them from mine in this kind of a self-orientation to thinking about the other person with kindness and gentleness and graciousness. We talked about demonstrating that as a parent towards people around us. We talked about demonstrating it as parents in our responses towards our kids, interacting with our kids, and our kids towards us. Are there other things in the flow of our days, in our lives as families, that we can use and grab hold of to teach our kids about empathy?
How about as husband and wife? How much empathy do we express to our spouses? And are we intentional about having those conversations when we're at the dinner table, when our husband has had a super rough day, to be able to say, man, that sounds hard. I can understand how that would make you feel. Are we doing those things for each other in front of our kids, so they're seeing in that most intimate relationship, that relationship that is most foundational to our family? Are we expressing empathy, concern for each other? Are we working to take the other's perspective, even when there's disagreement between the two of us? We want our kids to have those kind of marriages, so we have to model those kind of marriages. Another thing that we've loved to do with our family is that we utilize books and movies with our kids to help them develop empathy. And this has been a fun one, because if you're reading through Curious George and Curious George gets in trouble, then I'll just stop right there and say, how do you think Curious George feels right now? How do you think the man in the yellow hat feels now, seeing that his monkey has painted someone's living room? And helping our kids take the perspective of these fictional characters, I think, is a lot less weighty than when it actually comes to actual humans they know. And we'll do the same thing with movies, where we're watching something and I'll just pause it. If there's a heavy emotional moment, or we know there's about to be a big heavy emotional moment, to say, how do you think she feels right now? Why do you think she feels that way? What do you think she's going to do because she feels that way? So they can kind of have that practice at taking the perspective of someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think even in our Bible reading, I love the prodigal son for this kind of an experience, where you can say, how does the father feel in this moment where his son has taken in his inheritance and left? And then how does he feel at the end? How does the son feel when he squandered it all? How does this brother feel? And for them to feel all of that, to think through all of those emotional impacts for everybody in the story, I think broadens that for them.
So Marilee, as we're talking about empathy this morning, we're talking about teaching our kids empathy. Let's bring a little bit of balance to the conversation, because when we're talking about empathy and feeling empathy towards somebody, it doesn't excuse someone's bad choices, their damaging, hurtful, painful choices that they might be making. So how do we talk to our kids about and model the interplay, the balance between empathy and justice?
That is such a tough one. And I think for our kids, some of them are going to be wired more towards wanting to give immediate empathy. They have more just feelings in general, and so they can connect with other people's feelings. And for those kids especially, we have to help instill that sense of justice for them, that just because someone has experienced tough life circumstances doesn't mean it's okay for them to do these other things. And I think we see that in the justice of God, that God does not excuse these kind of things, that he is serious about sin and the consequences of sin. And I think even in talking to our kids about why someone might do what they do, we see sin. We see the impact of generational sin, or we see how a family may have grown up not knowing right from wrong, and so then their kids come out and make choices that are harmful. So we don't want to excuse that sin. We can see how the answer to all of this, the remedy for all of this, is Jesus, is holiness, is a world where we don't have to deal with these kinds of issues that put people in that position. So I think we want our kids to know that we are not excusing behavior. People are not without consequences. Even in conflicts between our kids, we make sure that there's justice, even when we want to express empathy for what they're going through. But we want to make sure they can develop that understanding of taking on someone's perspective, even when that doesn't excuse their actions.
Okay, Marilee, help us guys out. Picking on us guys here, because we tend to be the ones that, when maybe our wives come to us, they're hurting from something, and we want to
fix it.
Yeah, we want to fix it. There's a solution to that one, baby. But sometimes, at least on the front end, a fix-it approach isn't what's necessary. So how can empathy, maybe us guys learning empathy, help that scenario?
Yes, if you can sit in it just for a minute, you know, sit in the uncomfortable, sit in the hard, ask good follow-up questions, and not to grill her and not to try and find especially what she did wrong. Don't go there quite yet. But just allow her to feel what she needs to feel and identify with that. And yes, I can understand that would be hard. I can imagine your feelings got hurt in that situation. To just be able to validate for a little bit, and she may have a perfectly great solution she already knows she needs to do. You can probably trust her with that, unless she's specifically asking you how to fix it. And even then, maybe wait a minute. She needs someone to say, I get it. I see you. I see why this is hard. It's okay to feel the way you feel. You won't feel like this forever. And then allow her, if she wants to ask for your help, then hear it. If she doesn't, she may come up with the right thing all on her own. But I think that empathy perspective is just learning to sit in the uncomfortable for a minute. And I think it helps so much to practice that with your wife so that you can even do that for your kids too, so that you can hear them and what's uncomfortable for them without feeling like you have to jump in and fix it.
Marilee, we were talking a moment ago about us guys and how we might be able to learn to apply empathy on the front end when our wives come to us in those tender moments. You've got some thoughts that I think are interesting in terms of another way that we as men can apply empathy that could be powerful in our marriage.
Yes, I think as women come to their husbands in those tender moments and allow them to express empathy, we want to do that for you. That is not a sign that you're not manly. If you can come to us and say, I'm struggling with this, I'm even struggling with the emotions of it, I'm struggling with this relational conflict, or I'm struggling with feeling less than, or I'm struggling at work, and we can see there's an emotional component to that struggle too. We want to be expressing empathy. We need to be expressing empathy to you. That's going to connect us and bond us. That makes us feel like we're able to use our relational gifts, even for some of us who struggle more with feelings, which is definitely me. I need that practice with my spouse. I need to be able to show gentleness and kindness in the middle of those emotional struggles. And that makes us feel more safe to share our own stuff too.
And I think us guys would probably be quite surprised on the powerfulness that we would experience as far as the impact that our wives' empathy towards us would have on our own psyche and our own kind of walking through and working through hard times. Marilee, I always look forward to our times. Was looking forward to this morning. Knew it would be what it was. Just a great time of fellowship with my sister around a really important topic. To end our time this morning, would you mind lifting up a prayer for the MyBridge Radio family in terms of this whole area of empathy?
Father, we know that you are a God that experiences empathy with us because we see that in Jesus and in his example. We see that in how he fully felt the emotions of the people that he loved. Even when he knew he could fix it, that wasn't his first thing. And we want to be people like that. We want to be people who, even if we think we have solutions, that we want to be able to sit in the hard with people. And we know we do that through your Holy Spirit strength, that we are not the rescuers, we're not the saviors, but we point people in the right direction. And sometimes we do that by sitting in these hard, hard moments with them. I just ask, God, that you would especially give our moms and dads grace to do that well with their kids, to be able to try today identifying with their hard feelings and being able to model empathy with their kids, even when it's frustrating. We just ask, God, they would do that through your Holy Spirit power and for your glory, even in these small things inside their own homes. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.